chapter number 12. 2 Corinthians chapter number 12. And we will start reading in verse number 7 through verse number 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses number 7 through 10. The Bible says, "And lest I should be exalted above measure, through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong." I do not enjoy pain. How many of you would just, I'm going to ask you, how many of you would say right now that I enjoy going through pain, whether that's a physical pain or some type of emotional pain? Just raise your hand up so I can see. How many of you enjoy going through pain? Boy, I'm not surprised that there's no one who would raise their hand and say that they would enjoy pain. Well, this evening, I want to give you an illustration of two different types of pain. Two people have asked me, why do I have a pot behind the pulpit? As soon as the first thing that I think of when I see a pot or a pan is my mom's cooking. Now, I do miss that, being at home, my mom cooking for the whole family. But one thing that I do remember, probably more than the food, is when I would walk in the kitchen and she'd be cooking something. You know, I went to see what my mom was cooking that day. And the first thing she would say is, "Ben, step back. That pan, that pot is hot." And I'm ashamed to say I wish I would have obeyed, but I didn't. Instead, I wanted to see how long I could keep my hand on that hot pot. Needless to say, it wasn't long, number one, and then I realized why my mom said that, because the pan is hot. This type of pain is not a good type of pain, let me tell you. And the second type of pain I want to illustrate, there's actually a picture of this up on the screen. Okay, now this may seem a little weird first looking at it, but this is actually a homemade weight. During COVID, especially with things shut down, me and my dad decided we need to make some type of homemade weight. So what we did was we took 2-gallon bottles of water, cut it in half, filled it with cement, and put a pole in the middle and stuck it outside. And that was our homemade weight for COVID. I don't know what's with all the stickers, all the tape over there. I think it was over time we kept breaking it, but it was because of COVID, we couldn't go to the gym. We had to do some type of weight. This is a type of pain, but that type of pain is different than this type of pain. When you get burned, it's not good. It's painful. But when you experience the pain of working out, you're exercising muscles, it hurts, but you are growing. And as I was thinking about these two types of pain, I began to think that, you know what, trials and difficulties, it's very similar to these two different types of pain. When you get burned, you have a sudden response. You know that it's hot, you burn yourself, you move your hand away from the fire or a pot or a hot pan, and you have that response that, hey, I better move my hand or I better not do this again. Next time I walked in the kitchen, I knew that I shouldn't put my hand on a hot pot or a pan. And then when you exercise, you strengthen your muscles, but it's also growing time. You exercise your muscles and you go through pain, but you get stronger beside of it. When you go through trials, you are going to respond to it a certain way, whether that's positive or whether that's negative. And when you go through trials, it teaches you about your growth. It shows you where you are as a Christian. Now, I understand that everyone's trials and difficulties and burdens, it's very different. And we respond to it a certain way. I was talking to a friend in college. I was kind of sharing with him what the Lord had placed in my heart this evening. And he told me something that we were told in chapel a couple of years back in college. I was told that when you go through trials, the way you respond to it shows what's already in your heart. And you know, when you respond to a trial, whether that's positive or negative, it affects your growth. The choice is up to you how you're going to respond. When you go through a trial, are you going to grow closer to God or are you going to grow away from God? The choice is up to you. When I think of someone who went through trials in the Bible, I think of Job. You know, one day, friends walk over to him and says he's lost his family, he's lost his possessions, his wealth. He went from being the wealthiest person ever known to one of the poorest men ever known. But when I think of difficulties, I think of Abraham, who was promised a son, and God gave him that son. But now he has a test of faith of having to go sacrifice his son to God. He didn't understand it, but that was a trial. That was a test. But someone who went through a trial was Paul. Now, when I think of Paul, I think, boy, my dad would say, you say a mouthful when you say Paul. You know, he wrote the majority of the New Testament. He preached the gospel to churches. He encouraged churches. He stood before rulers in cities, and he gave his testimony. Paul was definitely, I would say, that one of the greatest Christians in the Bible. But in this passage that we read, we see that he went through a trial. He went through a difficulty. And as we study about this passage, as we study Paul's trial and how he responded to it, I want you to ask yourself, and I want to ask myself just a few questions. What is your response when God places you in a trial or a difficult time? And the second question I want to ask you is, are you growing closer to God or away from God because of it? I can tell you right now that Satan's goal, our enemy, Satan, his goal is to get you discouraged in your difficulty. He wants your response to be bitter. He wants you to grow away from God. Even though Paul was a great Christian, he went through trials. He went through difficulties. You see, it doesn't matter who you are. If you are a Christian, if you have received Jesus Christ into your heart, you will go through difficulties. You will go through trials. The Bible says in 1 Peter 4:12, "Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you." I know that I've heard some people, funny enough, say that once you become saved, the Christian life becomes easier and easier. That is not true at all. The Christian life is not about things getting easier and easier. You will go through difficult times. You will go through difficult trials in your life. The Bible says in James 1:2, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptation." Now, when I read a verse like that, how can a trial be joyful? How can I have joy in the midst of a trial? And how can I respond to trials in my life? As we study this passage, I want you to notice three observations about Paul's thorn. And I pray that it will be a help and encouragement as we answer these questions. First of all, I want you to notice in verse number 7, the purpose beyond the thorn. Verse 7 says, "And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure." So let's back up a bit. Let's get some context. Let's find out what happens in verse numbers 1 through 6. It starts out by saying in verse number 1, "It is not expedient for me doubtless to glory. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord." So Paul is saying, he's speaking in third person from verses 1 through 6. He's kind of giving almost a past tense. He's describing a story. And as you read verses 1 through 6, he's telling a story about a man who was Paul, who had a revelation, who had a vision. And he says in verse 2 and 3, whether it was out of the body or in the body, he doesn't know. Whether he was alive or dead, he doesn't know. He says God knoweth. But Paul was taken in a vision, and he was taken up to the third heaven. He was caught up in the third heaven. And it says in verse number 4 how that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words, which it is not lawful for a man to utter. He saw things, he heard things that he says in this passage that he can't say, he can't utter, like he just can't do it. And then verse 5, he says, "Of such an one why I glory? Yet of myself I will not glory, but in my infirmities. Now, imagine this. I like to use my imagination with these stories. I imagine that if Paul had died and was taken up to heaven and resurrected back, if that did happen, imagine the stories he could have told. Even though he wasn't able to correctly say what he saw, you know, he would have been probably the most famous man in town. This man who died or who was taken up in a vision, he saw things, he saw all sorts of different things that he couldn't say, but he would have had a lot of things to glory in. He would have been proudful. And we see that because of this, he was given a thorn. Paul didn't proclaim this in the streets. He didn't preach about this. He just didn't want to be exalted above measure. He didn't want to glory or tell others about this. In verse number 7, we see, "And lest I should be exalted above measure," because of the revelations, because of what he saw, he was given a thorn in the flesh. Paul was given a thorn in the flesh, and it could very well have been some type of ailment or some type of disease. The Bible says, Galatians 4:13, "Ye know how through infirmity of the flesh I preached the gospel unto you at the first." So it could have been some type of physical disease or something like that that was an obstacle or a difficulty in his life. We don't know for sure, but we do know that this was an obstacle to Paul. It was something that he had difficulty with. He still continued to preach. He still continued to do what God had called him to do, but he struggled with this trial. Paul, who walked with God, who preached the gospel, what was his response to this difficult trial? Look what it says in verse number 8. "For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me." Wait a second. Paul, who was a great man of God, who walked with God, who preached, who wrote the majority of the New Testament, he's asking God to remove this thorn. He didn't like it. It was uncomfortable for him. He begged God to remove it. This was a time of humility and transparency. Can you imagine Paul as he's writing this? He's saying that he's humbling himself, saying that I don't like it. It's uncomfortable. He asked God to remove it. And most honestly, that's what probably many of our responses are when we are put in difficult times. Paul's initial response to this thorn was a request for God to remove it. And very often that is our first response. When we go through a difficulty, when we go through a trial, at times the first thing we say is, "God, I can't do this. This is too difficult. Man, this sickness or this family issue, this thing that I'm going through, I just can't do it. It's too difficult." Pastor said last week, it's for a reason and it's only for a season. God has a reason for each difficulty and each trial that we are in. The Bible says, Romans 8:28, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose." First thing I notice is that Paul's first response was for God to remove it. And at times that's our response, for God to remove it. But let's continue reading. Let's see what else we can learn from this. We see the purpose of the thorn. He didn't want to be exalted above measure. But secondly, let's learn about the principle of the thorn. What did Paul need to learn during this difficult time? And what should we learn in the midst of our difficulty? Look what it says in verse number 8. "For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness." You see, God's response, so we know about what Paul's response. We know that he asked for God to remove it. But what was God's response to that? He said, "His grace is sufficient for thee." God's response wasn't a removal of the thorn, but it was rather a focusing or a recognition of God's grace. In this verse, we see that God gives Paul a statement, a reassurance that his grace is sufficient. Sufficient means it's enough. It's adequate. You see, God's grace is enough. That's what God was trying to teach Paul, that his grace is sufficient for the trial. Now, we understand that grace, we know verses, "For by grace are you saved through faith and not of yourselves. It is the gift of God." We understand grace in regards to salvation. Grace meaning unmerited favor, something we do not deserve. But the type of grace that it's talking about here is a grace for this trial. Strength, hope, joy, encouragement from God to keep going in this trial. The Bible says, Hebrews 4:16, let us therefore come boldly into the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. You see, God was trying to teach Paul that he shouldn't focus on the thorn. He shouldn't focus on the trial, but rather God's grace in the midst of a trial. And that's what we must focus on when we go through difficult times. And God understands it's hard, it's difficult what we go through. But instead of focusing on the difficulty or on the trial, we need to emphasize and focus on the grace given to us that is sufficient for us. As children of God, we have access to God's grace. But at times, in our difficult times, when we struggle with what we're going through, at times we try to tell someone about it. We try to get some help from somebody, maybe our peers, or rely on someone to make it go away, to make it feel better. And you know what? You may find temporary peace or temporary solution, but we need to turn to God and experience His grace. Not just sing about it, but to actually experience the strength and the joy found in Christ. Let me ask you this question. In the trial that you are going through, in the difficulty that you're going through, are you experiencing God's grace? His sufficient grace that can only be found in Him. See, Paul had to recognize this. And he had to recognize that not only is his grace sufficient, but his power is made perfect through his weakness. God wants to use us in a great and mighty way, but at times we get in our own way. You know, we think that, oh, how can I get through this trial? Okay, I need to do this. Okay, if I go here, if I do this, then I'll be able to get more comfortable if I try this way. But no, the key to experiencing God's sufficient grace and to experience His strength is for us to become weak. What we desire gets in the way of God's desire in our lives. So the only way that we can experience His strength in our lives is for us to become weak. Because if we are weak, we are broken. We are not able to do anything except turn to God. And that's exactly where He wants us to be. You know, I'm not sure what where Paul was at this time or what he was doing when he was writing this. But as he's writing this, especially with the way that he wrote it, this is something that he has experienced already. This is something that he's learned. But he had to learn that he can't rely on his strengths. I'm sure Paul was very educated. He knew how to speak. He knew how to talk. He knew how to write. But he had to learn that those strengths that he thought he had, that he could do on his own, he had to become weak. He had to not rely on his strength, but on God's strength. In the trial that God has placed you in, have you recognized God's strength? What is God trying to teach you through this difficult time? Maybe it's a recognition of His grace. Maybe the joy and the strength found in Him. Maybe we haven't found that yet in this difficult trial. Or maybe we haven't been made weak. Maybe we're relying too much on our own self. Maybe relying too much on our own strength to get us through the day. But really, we can't navigate this life without relying on God. I realize that the more I go through life, the older I get, the more I realize I can't do anything in my own strength. I can't serve God the way I want to. I can't do what I'm supposed to do the way I want to in my own strength. It has to be only through God's. Paul's first response to this thorn was a removal. But God's response was not a removal, but rather a recognition of God's sufficient grace and strength in his weakness. Andrew Murray said, in trial and weakness and trouble, he seeks to bring us low until we learn that his grace is all and to take pleasure in the very thing that brings us and keeps us low. His strength is made perfect in our weakness, his presence filling and satisfying our emptiness becomes the secret of humility that need never fail. Just as Paul had to learn about God's sufficient grace, maybe there's something that God wants to teach us in the midst of our difficult time. Instead of maybe trying to figure out, why am I in this trial? Why am I going through this difficulty? Why does it seem this trial will never end? maybe we should focus on what is God trying to teach me in this trial. When I was reading this passage and I read Paul's response, I could relate to that first response. I could relate to that, to being uncomfortable, to not liking having that thorn in his flesh, that difficulty that he was going through. I could relate to that. But then in verse number 9, he ends that verse by saying, "Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me." Maybe this evening, God wants you to tap into his grace tonight. It's sufficient for you and for me. And we need to be made weak so that his power can show forth in your life. We see there was a purpose beyond the thorn. Why did he have the thorn? Well, he would have been exalted above measure. And we see the principle behind the thorn. God wanted to teach Paul about his sufficient grace and his strength made perfect in his weakness. But finally, I want you to notice this, the product because of the thorn. Look what it says in verse number 9. "And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me." Boy, what a change of attitude from verse number 8, where he sought to remove that thorn, that difficulty. And now in verse number 9, he's saying, "Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me." I see that Paul's priority, he wanted the power of Christ in his life. He wanted to be used more of God. He wasn't just satisfied with what he was doing. He wasn't just satisfied by the people who he had led to Christ. He wanted more. He wanted to serve God more. And he wanted the power of Christ to be in his life. Do we desire that? Are we fine with just sitting in the pew Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday evening, and go week after week just satisfied with just that? Or do you want the power of God to be in your life? That's what Paul wanted. Because he realized that if I want the power of God, if this is what I want and I want to be used of God, then I need to change my attitude towards the thorn. I need to change my attitude towards trials and difficulties. I mentioned that it's easy to relate with Paul with verse number 8, that, man, this is uncomfortable. I don't want this trial. But it's difficult to claim verse 9. "Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory." Not just, okay, I will endure it, but gladly. Be joyful. We read that verse, "My brethren, count it all joy when you go through diverse temptations." That's difficult. But Paul said his priority was that I want the power of God in my life. And the only way I can have the power of God in my life is to go through a trial. So I asked myself this question: how much do I desire the power of God in my life? If we want the power of God in our lives, we have to accept the trials. We have to go through the difficulties. We have to accept that we can't do it without God. We can't serve, we can't be all that we can be for Christ if we are not made weak so that he can be strong in our lives. And then Paul's priority led to his surrender. Look what it says in verse number 10. "Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong." Paul takes this step further. He doesn't just say, "I take pleasure in the trial, the thorn that I'm going through." He says that I'll take pleasure in my infirmities, in my reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. If we look at 2 Corinthians 11, verse number 23, we see a list of almost everything that Paul went through. It says in verse number 23, "All the ministers of Christ, I speak as a fool, I am more, in labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent, in deaths oft. Of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once was I stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I have been in the deep. In journeyings often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils by my own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. Boy, what a list of everything accumulative of what Paul went through. But I don't think Paul would have been able to go through all that if he didn't understand the purpose of his trial. If he didn't understand that God's grace was sufficient. That the power of Christ, if he wants God's power in his life, he has to endure that trial. He has to endure that thorn. Paul's attitude changed because he surrendered his weakness to God. That thorn, that trial that he had, he gave it to God. And that's what we have to do with this trial, this difficulty that we are going through. Because we can't handle it on our own. We have to surrender it to God. And that's what he did. He said, "For when I am weak, then am I strong." In 1 Peter 4:12, we read that, talking about our trials and temptations that we go through. But in verses 13 through 15, the Bible says, "But rejoice, inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part he is evil spoken of, but on your part he is glorified." When I read these passages, especially when Paul talking about how he can glory in his difficult times, and then Peter, he's saying that if ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye. How can these men associate joy with trials, with difficult times? Because they did go through it. They went through difficult times. But because they understood this truth, they understood that God's grace was sufficient enough for whatever trial they went through. And this evening, I just want to tell you that whatever trial you're going through, whatever burden, whatever difficulty you're going through, God's grace is sufficient for whatever it is. Amen. And his strength can be made perfect through all weakness. Whatever trial, whatever burden that you are going through, you can give it to God. It's sufficient. His grace is sufficient for thee. As I mentioned, sufficient means it's enough. It's adequate. You know, anytime we try to do things on our own strength, we always fall short. We try our best. We try to stick through it or do whatever we need to get through it. But at times, we fail. It's disappointing. But God's grace, his strength, it never fails. It never runs out. It's sufficient for you and for me. When we go through trials, we can experience the sufficient grace and joy through Christ. God can and he will be glorified in the midst of our trials. And he can be glorified in your life. He can be praised. He can get the glory even in the midst of these difficult times. We can rejoice and we can experience the grace, the joy, and strength in Christ. Because we're not encouraging ourselves on our own. We're not relying on what the pastor says or what a friend says. We're relying on what God says and what his promise that his grace is sufficient for you and for me. In verse 10, he says that he would glory and take pleasure in infirmities and his distresses, his necessities, his persecutions for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Paul went through all these things. And again, we don't know the timeline of when he wrote this or when he went through these trials. But this truth that he learned because of the thorn, he was able to use it and apply it in his life. And I don't know where Paul would have been if he did not understand this truth or if God did not give him this thorn. You see, Paul's first response was for God to remove it. But upon further studying of this passage, we see that God had a purpose for the thorn. And he had a principle for it. God has a plan for each and every one of us, and it probably involves going through a trial. So I don't know what each and every one of y'all are going through tonight. We all have burdens. We all have things that we're going through that it may only be between you and God. But I can tell you this evening that his grace is sufficient for thee. And he has strength. He has power much more than any one of us combined. He's God. He has all the power. And it can be made perfect through all weakness. We have to become weak. Paul said in Philippians 4, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Maybe Paul was relying on his own strength at times when he was preaching in some cities. Maybe he was relying on his knowledge, his education, or the experience that he went through. But all we know is that verses like this, I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. He learned about God's strength through his weakness. My senior year of Bible college, I was working a job on campus. I was a little busy at that time, interview days coming up. At the time, I hadn't met Pastor Mix, but after that, I met Pastor Mix, and we started the process. But it was just a busy time. And my junior year, I was a dorm supervisor. And they asked me if I wanted to fulfill that position again, and I said no. I mentioned that I had work. I had exam coming up where I had to go in front of some teachers, and basically they would quiz me on questions in the Bible and such. And I just didn't want to deal with being a dorm supervisor. I just didn't want to have anything to do with it. So the semester started, and a friend of mine, he came to me and he said, hey, Ben, are you going to dorm soup again? And I said, no, I'm not. And he said, why don't you pray about it? I didn't want to pray about it because I knew what the answer was going to be. But just to get him off my back, I said, sure, I'll pray about it. So I went out soul winning with some of the interns at the time, and you know, I started praying about it, and I knew what God wanted me to do. I knew that he wanted me to be a dorm supervisor, and I just said, fine, God, I'll be a dorm supervisor, but I can't do it without you. That's basically what I said. And then a verse came to my mind, the verse in John that said, for without me, you can do nothing. And this convicting question just hit me like a train. This was the question. God said, Ben, your junior year, whose strength were you doing that in? Right now, you want to pack it all up. You don't want to do it anymore. You struggled through a few things. Who were you relying on to do it? Whose strength were you relying on? Did you ask me for help? Did you ask me to help you navigate through that time of your life? Boy, I just want to drop everything and just, man. When you get those questions, it's convicting. But I learned that when you want God's help, you have to ask him. And it's so easy to get in a routine. You have your schedule, you have what you need to do, you have your to-do list, and it's so easy to all of a sudden start doing it in your own strength. I have to make this schedule. I have to make this appointment. I need to do A, B, and C. It's so easy to go into a default mode where you're relying on your own strength, your own knowledge, your own experience to keep going. But we have to realize that we can't navigate life without God's strength in our lives and without the power of God. And it's not just a weekly, oh, I give this schedule to you, I give this appointment to you. It has to be a daily thing. Paul said that he would gladly go through all these trials and difficulties so that the power of Christ could rest upon him. I know I want the power of God in my life, and I know that many of you want God's power in your life as well. But in order for that to happen, God may have to put a thorn in your life tonight. Maybe next week. We don't know what's going to happen in the future. But we know that difficulties are coming. Difficulties are here. Trials, we will go through them. But God didn't just leave Paul by himself with this thorn. He gave him a promise that my grace is sufficient for thee, and his strength is made perfect in weakness. So let me ask you this evening, the trial that you are in right now, or the burden that's on your mind right now, what has been your response to it? Are you growing closer to God because of your trial? And whatever you're going through, do you realize that God's grace is sufficient? And his strength is made perfect through your weakness. Through that thorn, through whatever difficulty you're going through, that's when God's power can show. That's when God can display his strength. But the question is, have you become weak? Have you realized that, you know what? Whatever God has called me to do, I can't do it on my own. I have to do it through Christ. I pray that our response is that in whatever trial or difficulty that you are in, that God is glorified, and that in our weakness, when we become weak, when we all of a sudden rely on God's grace and our strength and our life, then we are made strong. Trials and pain are difficult, but God's grace and his strength are sufficient for you and for me. Every head bowed, every eye is closed. Let's just take a time to pray. And the altar is open. We're all going through difficulties. We are all going through trials. What is your response to it this evening? It's difficult. It's hard. It's between you and God. Your response matters. We can't do it on our own strength. We have to rely on God's. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the truth of your word this evening. Thank you that your grace is sufficient for us. Thank you that your strength is much more powerful than anything we can imagine. And you want to help us through the trials and difficulties of life. I pray that we would rely on you for strength, that you would use us and use this trial to draw us closer to you. In Jesus' name, amen.